You may stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician region. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She has went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone." Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. This passage from the Gospel of Mark is one that many preachers don't want to tackle. That first part, anyway, where this woman comes to Jesus and begs him to heal her daughter. Sure, she gets her healing in the end, we say. But do my ears deceive me? Do my eyes deceive me? Did Jesus call her a dog? Jesus sounds rude here, at a minimum. And he even sounds uncaring. Uncaring about her, uncaring about her daughter. So commentaries have many ways to deal with this. Some of them point out that the Greek for dog that Jesus uses here kind of means puppy. Cute little puppy. As if Jesus is sort of complimenting her or something. Or they say Jesus started off as a kind of male chauvinist who didn't think that she deserved a healing, and then he somehow changed his divine mind and became woke and everything. I am, on my best days, a decent pastor, but I am not a mind reader. I tell people that all the time. Can't read your mind. And I certainly can't read the mind of our Lord. So I try not to get into psychoanalysis in my preaching. You know, I'm underqualified. I do think it is pretty hard to take the customs and manners and culture of 2021 and impose them on a text that was written in the first century in a country really far away from ours, in a culture really different from ours. So, what's a congregation and a preacher to do on Labor Day with this? Okay, first thing I want to tell you is, this story is in Mark's gospel, this version that we're talking about today. Matthew also tells this story, and he calls her the Canaanite woman. So in Mark's gospel, you need to know that Mark's gospel is the earliest gospel that we have. It was written around 70 AD or BCE, if you want to get fancy. Or CE. Sorry. See, I tried to get fancy. I got ahead of myself. CE. Mark's gospel is terse. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is always on the move. Immediately is Mark's favorite adverb, and it was in this text. Mark's gospel was written to a Christian community in a Greek-speaking part of the world. In other words, they were not Jews. In other words, they were Gentiles. In other words, they were a lot like this Syrophoenician woman, right? We think that Mark's community was blue-collar and probably urban because they talk about urban kinds of problems. It is written in the common Greek, not the fancy Greek. And we know that it was written to a Gentile community because Mark explains a lot of Jewish customs. And if he was writing to a Jewish community, he wouldn't have to tell them. So, the first thing I want you to understand is that Mark includes this story about this Syrophoenician woman, and he's writing to a Syrophoenician community. So it has to be good news for them, or he would not have included it. So, let's look at what Jesus is up to. Right before this text, Jesus had gotten into an argument with some Pharisees. Pharisees are Jews. They are really good at being Jews. They are A-plus Jews. He got into an argument with them about whether it's a sin to violate Jewish law by eating food with unwashed hands. I really do hope we wash our hands before we eat. But Jesus' point was that the Jewish community, the Pharisees, were really worried about the letter of the law and missing the big point. He says, it's not what goes into your mouth that you have to worry about, but what comes out of it. That people, the insiders, are honoring God with their lips, but their hearts are far away. So in other words, right when Jesus finds this, this Gentile woman finds Jesus, he has just finished being with the children in the house. And the children in the house don't get it. So Jesus goes up to Tyre, which is far away from Jerusalem. It's about 100 miles from Jerusalem. It's 40 or so miles from Nazareth. It's up on the coast. It's a beach town. Sounds like my kind of place. And while they may have had some Jewish people up there, Tyre and also Sidon were primarily Gentile countries. So there we find this Syrophoenician woman. Syrophoenician, you should get from that she's very not Jewish. She's foreign. She's from a pagan culture. She's very outsider, very the opposite of a Pharisee as you can get. And she has heard of this Jesus, and she begs him for a healing for her daughter. In Matthew's version, she cries out. She cries out in a loud voice, and the disciples tell her to go away, and Jesus won't have it. We think that the surprising part of this story is that Jesus calls her a dog. But the real surprising part is that Jesus was there at all. What was he doing up there? That he would be in a place where he could get approached by this woman. And think about how this woman, who in the culture of the time embodied everything any reasonable, upstanding Jewish rabbi would avoid. She's a Gentile, pagan woman. How ritually unclean can you get? And what a miracle that she would come to Jesus, this foreigner to her, this man, and call him Lord. Extraordinary. Extraordinary. And what an extraordinary thing for Jesus to have listened to her or to have talked to her at all. Back in the day, I guess women were not supposed to start conversations with men. So for her to speak out at all is extraordinary. And for him to listen is extraordinary. Here's another strange thing. I was offended when Jesus called her a dog. She was not. Apparently, Gentiles got called a lot worse. And so dog was actually like one of your more polite terms that you could be called, I think. I looked it up. She doesn't say, "Hey, Jesus, don't call me a dog. How dare you?" I, for one, am offended and I want nothing to do with you. She says, "Even the dogs get the crumbs from the children's table." And out of the abundance of her faithful heart, her mouth speaks, right? Here are the Pharisees who are obsessed with being clean and getting all the rituals right. But in their hearts, they're far away. And here this woman who on the outside is so unclean has faith in her heart. And out of the abundance of her faithful heart, her mouth speaks. And she gets her healing. The Gospel of Mark is written for outsiders. The fact that she got her healing would be the part that Mark's community would be so astounded at. The fact that through her faith she was brought into relationship would be the part that Mark's community would lift up, because they can't get to Jesus any other way. If it depends on birth, they can't get there. Mark has a common theme of insiders that don't get it and outsiders that do. And that's so often how our God seems to work. God chose Abraham to make covenant with, and it wasn't because he was so perfect. God comes to Abraham and says, "Go to the land which I will show you, and I will be your God, and I will make of you a great nation, and through you all nations of the earth shall be blessed." And it says Abraham believed him, and his faith was counted as righteousness. His faith. God said through Abraham all nations would be blessed. All nations. We see that blessing in Jesus, in the way that he finds himself in a place like Tyre. And we see it in the Old Testament too. Rahab and Tamar and Hagar and Ishmael, all outsiders that became insiders, not through their goodness, but by the grace of God. The Gospels are filled with stories of Jesus healing people on the fringes of society. Lepers, women with hemorrhages, persistent widows, and even non-Jews like the Roman centurion's child. If Jesus' primary mission was first to the children of Israel, and that makes sense because Bethlehem, that's where he started out, right? If his primary mission was to the children of Israel, he sure seems to pick up a lot of children by adoption, doesn't he? Consider the parable of the wedding banquet, where Jesus talks about a king who throws a wedding celebration and he sends out invitations to all the chosen people, all the insiders, all the children of the house, and they don't show up. So he throws open the doors and invites people from the street, the riffraff, whosoever will, so that the master's house may be filled. So the surprising thing in this story is not the dog label, but the fact that the woman held on to a faith that any reasonable person in her position would have never had in the first place, and that Jesus rewarded that faith, took her seriously, engaged with her, and called her faith great and gave her her healing. This unclean woman with a pure heart who couldn't be more of an outsider, she's brought in because of her faith and because she knows the nature of this Jesus, the one who multiplies bread until there is enough and more than enough. Now, I think it's safe to say none of us come to Jesus as sinless beings. All of us are broken and needy. All of us have some parts of ourselves that make us an outsider with God and with each other. But here in the church, there's no such thing as an outsider. When we gather at the Lord's table, it's not just for the people who get A's in the class. It's not just for the insiders, it's for everyone. And one of the reasons that we can do that is because of this encounter with this woman. There is no question that the gospel of Christ is for all. So we set the table for all who will come, literally or figuratively. All who are hungry. We don't ask you any deep theological questions. We don't care who your daddy is or what you do for a living or how much money you have or how you feel about the Trinity or whether or not you swear to the virgin birth. We ask, are you hungry? Jesus is here. Come and dine. And if we're going to be in a church family, once we feel in our hearts how Jesus comes to us, how he died for you and for me, even me, then every person becomes my brother or sister. And certainly every Christian is my brother or sister. And that's a scary thing because this parent of ours has a way of throwing parties for prodigal sons and daughters without seeking approval first from the trustees. It's frightening. The bread Jesus serves is living bread. It is life-giving. The body of Christ broken for you. The cup of salvation poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Many, many, many. It means that forgiveness and reconciliation are not things we do because we're nice. But we do those things because of Jesus, whose gospel is for all people. Even especially for people who need it the most. Our Savior comes to all, and most especially to those outside looking in. Now, last week, as we were wrapping up our journey series, we talked about the Apostle Paul and how Paul was a big part of the reason that Christianity spread out of Palestine. That this so-called king of the Jews was claimed by Gentile outsiders who became children of God by faith in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith is one of Paul's greatest hits. And one of the reasons he can say that is Jesus doing stuff like this. That's how he can say, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I want to tell you that this is good news for the outsider parts of all of us and anybody that feels like an outsider. I also want to tell you something else. Churches like Glenmar, who have been so richly blessed by God in every way that is measured, we run the risk of being an insider kind of place. And we don't do it on purpose, and we don't mean to do it, and it comes with sort of the territory. Particularly in Howard County, you know, where all the women are strong, all the children are All the women are strong. All the men are good looking, right? And the children are above average. Any place like that is sort of an insider kind of a place. So part of the good news to a place like this, to the people of Glenmar, it is both good news, outsider, come on in. And, hey, insider, listen to the Syrophoenician women. Hey, insider, it's going to be super easy for you to just make it a little bit harder for somebody to come in here because it's the way we've always done it. Or you didn't fill out the right form. Or, you know, pastor, could you use a different font in the bulletin? It's just, it's a subtle thing. But I think Jesus is saying both to us. Now, Mark pairs up this healing of this woman's daughter, which is kind of like a remote healing. He didn't touch her. He didn't, like, go see her. He didn't lay hands on her. He didn't, like, pray about it. He pairs that up with this healing of this man who is hard of hearing and can't speak. And he sticks his fingers in the man's ears and he touches his tongue. Again, I kind of hope Jesus washes his hands from time to time. And he says, "Be opened." I think maybe Mark pairs these two together because they kind of flow, right? Be opened. Those words could be directed to more than just one man's eardrums. Be opened could be a word to a church with Syrophoenician people all around us, and we are ourselves Syrophoenician. Be opened. The Gospel of Mark, his picture of God, is a God who breaks things open. The God of Mark would not be the kind of person who on Christmas morning, when you give them the package, they go, "This is just lovely. I don't even want to open this because to open it would ruin its beauty. Let me meticulously move the scotch tape." No, the God of Mark would say, "Gimme!" God is with us. That's the God of Mark. In Jesus' baptism in like Matthew, it's like all, "This is how it shall be. Oh, it's all very nice, and here's your calligraphy invitation." In Mark, Jesus' baptism, it says, "God ripped open the heavens and came on down." The Greek is schizo, ripped open the heavens. This God is a God who breaks things open. He breaks in, he breaks open, he invades, he turns things upside down to get to us. In the pairing of these healings, Jesus tears open the notion that the gospel, the good news of Christ, and the life abundant are things just for a few. I hear Jesus say, "Be opened." So in the pairing of these healings, I hear a word from the Lord saying, if you feel a little like society has called you a dog or something worse, if you feel you have no voice, I hear the word of the Lord saying to you, fear not, be opened. Open your mouth and speak. Open your mouth and sing. Open your mouth to God, because you too are a child of God. And I hear the word of the Lord saying to the church, I know you're worried about opening up your buildings, but maybe Jesus is more concerned about our hearts. Open your hearts. Be opened. If you have ears to hear, be opened. And then let God unstop our tongues too, so that we can not only hear, but speak and share the news that there is bread enough for all. There's enough bread for the children. There's enough bread for the grown-ups. There's enough bread for the seasoned saints. There's enough bread for the neighbors. There's enough bread for the foreigners. There's enough bread for the people we love and the people that we wish did not even come over. There's bread enough for everyone. even the dogs. Amen.